where vacation becomes adventure.
Universal Orlando Resort. 2 theme parks, 3 on-site hotels, non-stop nightlife, a universe of excitement.
3 nights, 2 days, 1 unforgettable vacation.
3-night hotel accommodations.
2-day admission to enjoy both Universal Studios and Universal's Island of Adventures theme park.
Early park admission to experience the wizarding world of Harry Potter and the amazing adventures of Spider-Man.
And more!
From only $249 per adult, tax inclusive.
Upgrade to an on-site hotel and skip the regular lines in both theme parks for free.
Visit UniversalOrlando.com/Marvel. Call 1-877-247-4624 or contact your preferred travel professional.
Listener to our podcast, Jeff and Merck present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of comics that include a member of the most underrated Marvel series from the 80s while drinking beer,
analyzing awesome and amazing adjacent adolescent adventure, and absorbing alcohol.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Rick.
Random Banter is an international sports festival held every 4 years. The ultimate goals are to cultivate human beings through sport and contribute to world peace. Random Banter time, buddy. Talk to me, tell me tall tales and tantalizing tidbits of trivia today.
I don't want to talk to you about the Olympics. Or are you talking about the NATO war games?
Could be any number of things, but mostly... Random Banter around the world. I don't know. Sports.
Sports. Olympics.
Is there a reason why I might have picked this?
Yes. It might have something to do with something that occurs in this book.
Yeah. First page spoiler.
First page spoiler. We are going to get to that and talk about that a lot.
Going to get some wrestling.
Wrestling. Ah, besides that, let's see here. What has been new in the hood with us? Well, our family has made it through some of our television watching, and as I mentioned to you right before we started, we just started watching the second season of Lego Master, and it is fun. It's where they get competitors together, and Will Arnett is the host, and they just build these insane, incredible Lego things. It's pretty fun. It's neat. It's cool. It's exciting to watch, and it's the kind of reality TV that my family can get behind.
There is a lot of reality TV that's kind of like, yeah, that's not built for me. But nah. Yeah, Lego building, I think I can, yeah, I could support that wholeheartedly. I'm sure that the drama is pretty negligible, and I'm willing to bet that people will help each other out too.
Yeah, there's competitive there. There's a lot of side-eyeing going, we aren't doing anything cool like that, or, oh, we're so much better than them, or they are our competitors. But at the same time, you could see that these people, they're all creative types, and they don't want to see anybody fail. They want to beat them, but they don't want to see them fail. So there's tears, there's drama. It's fun. It's harmless. It's easy. Will Arnett is goofy.
He's also Batman. It is on my ever-growing list of things to watch, because I love Lego and I love Will Arnett, and one of these days I'll get to it.
That's the show we watch together as a family, whereas my wife and I just finished watching Dexter New Blood, which is kind of the final chapter of the Dexter show. And my wife's like, wow, I don't remember some of the things they were talking about. Let's rewatch Dexter.
I've seen like the half of the first season of Dexter, and I liked it, but I never got back into it.
No, we know the truth. Dexter's looking for you. It's okay. You can admit it to us.
It's not an autobiography or anything. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta come over sometime, Rick. I got a room I want to show you.
Hey, where'd you get these rubber sheets from? Wait.
Bloodbath and Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, what my enjoyable media watching has been is I finally got to see Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Oh, how's that?
Actually, fairly decent, fairly enjoyable. It has the standard Transformers goofiness going on. Characters just kind of like going, being wow amazed by giant robot cars and then not being amazed by them, and stupid stuff happening and innumerable weightless CGI foes and sky beams. It's your standard fare, but it's got some pretty neat stuff in it. I enjoyed it.
Some point in time, I guess that I need to sit down and watch that. I think I might have all of these Transformer movies on my Plex, and I stopped at 2.
I have the only one that I have not seen is Bumblebee, which I've heard really good things about.
Which I've heard is like probably the best one.
Yeah, it's probably the best one. It's one where I'm like, I really want to see that, but it hit at just the perfectly wrong time for me to catch it or watch them. It's just been like, I'm like, oh, I have that available to me if I put any kind of effort into it, any kind of effort at all. Here I go. Time goes further away. I could right into it. I just haven't done it yet, even though I've heard great things about it. I've watched all the other ones. The Michael Bay stuff is ridiculous and stupid, and I enjoyed the first one, and then they progressively got more just kind of head-scratchy, but I enjoy them. They're a guilty pleasure. They're like watching the Fast and the Furious films for me.
Well, Jeff, I think it's time that we looked at something that's not wholesome, something that's not family-friendly, and something that will scar you, much like a Transformer movie. Before we do that, I think we need to get to the 2 cents replay from last episode. Jeff.
All that war is about to erupt between the Avengers Academy and the Runaways when Nico sucker spell punches Giant Man because he and Tiger are planning to steal away Molly Hayes and Claroplast. Except, it doesn't, because they all sit down and have an introspective discourse where they agree to all experience each other's lives via a spell, after which they all go back to their own lives with a deeper understanding of what it is like to walk a mile in another person's shoes. Now that and Julie and Carolina start to date at the end of this issue because they each learned that the other one is super awesome, amazing, and cute. 2 sentence replay is over. Why don't you give me a beer and tell us what our power pack pick is?
My pleasure, my friend. I walked into from the garage after getting this out of my beer fridge, because yes, I have a beer fridge, and I was singing this, and my wife's like, where did that come from? Dun, 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 Mortal Kombat! And my wife's like, what? Where? Why are you singing that? And then I showed her this can of beer.
Jeff. Which I'm going to pull it out of a bag right now. Beer with balance. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Level beer. Choose your weapon. It's an 8.5 ABV Imperial IPA. That is a great blue and red dot matrix two-headed battle axe flanked by two different swords on it. Yeah, blue, white line, middle, red on the right-hand side. That's great. That is a level beer. They're going to level up. They got some fighting going on. Some 8-bit fighting.
Yeah, my wife's like, okay, I see what you did there.
Choose your weapon. Mutants and not mutants.
I was also saying, choose your weapon. We have choices here of there's going to be games, there's going to be some fighting going on, or there's going to be some friendly competition going on. Which weapon do you want for this game? That was kind of what I was thinking with it. Choose which weapon you want for which type of sport activity.
Ooh, story time on it is brewed and packaged by Level Beer in Portland, Oregon. It's a local beer. I'm excited to try that. Smells real good. Whoa, smells super piney now that I open it. Smells good, but super pine. It is going to be an IPA. Pours really nice. There is no head on this.
I got some of mine. Choose your weapon. It is a Imperial Double IPA, 8.5% ABV. I didn't have any little words to talk about with it, but I think we could just dive into it. We've had Level Beer on this show many times before. They're fun. They're neat. Rotating hop duos change each batch, allowing new opportunities for different hop flavors and aromas to become victorious. Citrus, tropical, fruity, dank, and floral battle it out for dominance, keeping this Imperial IPA fresh and unique. Choose wisely and let the battle commence.
I can smell the floral. I can smell the dank. I can smell the citrus. I can smell the tropical. I smell all of those. I smell all of those in there now that they've been mentioned. I'm like, it's very IPA, but it does have all those. I'm like, oh, that's very citrusy, kind of floral, kind of like, and then Rick starts reading and I'm like, yep, those are the scents that are on the old nose when I give it a sniff. But taste wise, it really wants to punch me in the face, and it kind of is, but it's in that nose punch level where it's just like, you've been booped on the nose or you've been hit on the nose, and it's hard to tell which one it is because it's bit longer it goes, the stronger it gets. Boy,
Nope. That is piney. That is hoppy. That is a lot of rusty nails. This is IPA with IPA and a little bit more IPA just to say, hi, hello, we're an IPA.
Second sip, it's both stronger on the front end but weaker on the sinus punch that it was giving me.
It goes away a little bit at the end. I think that this isn't hitting you as hard because you've been sick. That's my excuse for you. No, this is hoppy.
It is very hoppy.
Lots of hops in here. And this, you are kind of lucky that you got something that's keeping you from getting the full hit of this, because this is not the style that we enjoy. If you like the taste of hops, this is good for you.
Yep.
Woof.
Yeah. I think this is origin kind of IPAs that made me and Rick originally go, yeah, not a big fan of IPAs. I can see the goodness in this. This is very good for what it is, but it is also very hoppy and very hoppy. It is very pine needles in the mouth.
Pine needles, rusted metal, take your pick.
Yeah. Kind of drinking tree sap.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Whew. The 8.5%, if we can get to it, that's going to also kind of kick you in the end as well. This is a very cool can. I do like the can. Like I said, pixelated, kind of think a little bit of Minecraft type of axe with red and blue on it. I dig this. I dig the concept behind it. This is just going to be a little bit stronger than I like for my enjoyable beverage to get me through a nice comic book.
Yeah, It's a little bit of a challenging beer. It's not quite the forget about it that you're drinking. We've had plenty of beers where it's just like, I realized by the end, I'm like, oh, my glass is empty. And I didn't realize I was drinking it. Then there's others where Rick's talking and I take a sip and then I have to kind of like mute my mic or wait for a little bit to kind of like let the waves of the beer pass over me. And I think this might be kind of one of them.
All right. While Jeff is recovering, I think I'm going to go ahead and just tell him to start the opening credits.
Avengers Academy, issue number 29, July 2012, Protective Services, Part 1. Credits: Writer, Christos Engage. Penciler, Tom Grimmett. Inker, Corey Hampshire. Colorist, Chris Sotomayor. Letterer, Joe Caramanga. Editor, Bill Roseman.
Featuring Giant Man, Tigra, Quicksilver, Hawkeye, Hercules, Reptile, Striker, Metal, Hazmat, Finesse, White Tiger, Lightspeed, X-23, and a whole bunch of mutants.
Welcome to Unpacking After Dark.
Wait, what? It still looks sunny out. Why would you... Oh.
Yeah, there seems to be a full moon out thanks to the newest teacher, Hercules.
Hercules. A teacher of students? And his first action is to barrel to try to challenge a student to a traditional Olympic game?
You know, traditionally, those were historically all done in the nude.
Yes!
And he is posing in front of our young heroes in the traditional manner.
Yes!
And he's trying to find a wrestling volunteer with Metal and Striker being his primary candidates.
Yes.
Wow.
Even Striker is like, nah, bro.
Luckily, Mom shows up, and she's not happy that the new teacher's first act is to do something that will legally require him to stay 500 feet away from all schools.
Tigra is used to this type of nonsense from the loins of Olympus.
You meant Lion of Olympus, right?
Oh yeah, you'd think that, wouldn't you? And Tigra chastises him with a line my co-host has heard multiple times. Will you please put your pants on?
I did not come here with pants. I am not leaving with pants. And, to quote Hercules, I find them too confining.
Apparently over the centuries, Herc has missed society's changing its view on public nudity. That, or he has spent an insane amount of time in Portland, Oregon, at Rooster Rock, and doing naked bike rides.
More ruminations on the exposure of the epidermis of a god needs to wait, because company has arrived, i.e. the Avengers.
Dude, the Avengers Academy students are all already here, basking in or avoiding the gaze of the god of skillfully placed word balloons.
No. I'm not talking about the students and the faculty. I'm talking about the real Avengers.
Oh, deep cut. But I'm guessing you were talking about battle-damaged Hawkeye, Quicksilver, and Captain America arriving via Quinjet. They're back from our crossover event, and they are not happy.
My wallet knows the feeling. There are just so many comics that they need to buy, and that's just to keep up with the one storyline.
Well, the headline is that the Avengers are at war with the X-Men. Again.
AVX, baby!
Basic elevator pitch. The Phoenix Force is on its way to Earth, and everyone knows that the bird has some baggage. Yet the X-Types feel that they can control it this time. What with them having this young lady named Hope that has a basket that they can put all of their eggs into.
Yeah, yeah, the Chosen One, the possible mutant messiah, the miracle of M-Day, whatever. Well, no one knows where she is, so it's all hands on deck to do a global search. Oh, all hands except Tigra, that is.
Leaving the lady at home while the men folk go on a fishing trip. That is not going to sit well in this post-Barbie world.
Yeah, well, someone needs to stay behind to, you know, teach and stuff. Plus, there's another shoe that drops. A batch of refugee ex-students that need guardianship.
Wait, we just had the Runaways visit. How more names we need to remember? I quit.
Wolverine is here.
But like a deadbeat dad, he won't stay.
The Stepford Cuckoos are here too.
I know them. Fine. I'll stay.
Glad to hear it. We also have, a lot of kids that we may or may not have any familiarity with.
Big picture. These kids are not prisoners. They are not prizes or warriors. They are the mutants who were left behind when the adults ran off to start their little war. Wolverine's got enough kids at his school, and they don't need any more ideology crossover X drama.
Oh yeah, they do. But not right now. There are a couple of adults that were also left at the back of the fridge who were helping chaperone the kids. Madison Jeffries and Dr. Kavita Rao.
So Tigra and these two, and a mountain of kids.
And Hercules.
So more children.
Well, Hank has a lot of protections on campus set up against telepaths, teleporters, and televangelists.
The worst.
Cap has one message for the Avenger kids. Welcome these interloping kids who absolutely do not trust you or the situation and will probably kill you in your sleep. Oh, also, if they try to escape or leave or get involved with the little war that's going on, stop them. But, you know, not in a killy way.
Like, ask them before the attack? I think that's how consent works, right?
Well, as if to disprove that this could not get any more awkward, we have a meeting of Wolverines, a pack if you will, when Laura approaches Logan.
When Wolverines chat.
Laura wants to know why Logan has chosen the Avengers over the X-Men, but that is not quite the right question to ask. Logan is doing what he does best, and that is making complex choices based upon years of convoluted history.
He knows that there is no one who can handle the Phoenixes like Jean Grey, and of course, James Earl Jones.
Of course. Oh, also, Laura is angered that Logan has brought Cyclops' war to her, here, in what was supposed to be a safe space.
Yeah, sorry about that. But he needs to keep everyone clear of the war, and he needs her help to do it.
Oh, and we have one more little problem, and that problem has a name. Sebastian Shaw.
That. He takes and absorbs kinetic energy and then can let that come back out. He has been one of the biggest opponents of the X-Men for years. One of the guys responsible for turning the last Phoenix dark by buying her some red pants. Now he's a bit broken.
He had his memory wiped, then someone showed him his memories. So he's an absolute wild card at this point.
Of course Wolverine drops off this fantastic treat for the Avengers to take care of as well.
He is like the worst Santa Claus ever.
Don't worry, Madison Jeffries can build him a kinetic-proof cell that they can keep him in. They even promise him some books to keep him busy.
Okay, now that the Avengers are gone and the criminal is put away, it is time for the awkward not talking to begin.
Oh, we have some kids here who have no trouble talking. Talking trouble, that is. First up, Surge, a very opinionated young lady who has figured out that she and her ex-friends are glorified prisoners.
We prefer calling them enforced guests. Enforced guests, put our security to the test. It's been years since we've held anybody here, and we're obsessed!
Well, whatever you call them, show them the microwave, the freezer, and the TV trays, because that's all they're going to be doing during their enforced interlude here.
Wait. I want you to remember something we saw at the beginning of the book.
I promise you, I have not, nor will I ever, forget what I saw at the beginning of this book. Burned into my memory forever.
Yeah, not gonna lie. I need a drink to burn that out. But I was talking about Herc's reason for the skin show. The Olympics. Avenger students versus the X-Men students. Who is best? Who?
Okay, this is the kids' attention. But what event is up first? Who is representing? And are they going to be donning the, traditional garb?
Well, most importantly, they are binning the traditional garb like so many fashions of yesteryear, and we are starting with a speed test between our girl Julie and Transonic, a blue-skinned mutant who is pretty darn fast. This could be a good test.
Trash talk is high, but Julie is confident. She tells Transonic that she recently went up against another speedster woman, and it went so well. But they're dating now.
This statement discombobulates the young mutant off just enough for Julie to get off the mark first.
While the race takes place, Dust and Laura have some strained conversation. They have an interesting, relationship. Dust wants to know if Laura agrees with this arrangement of non-captivity.
Laura is gathering more info before she decides. She's a patient marmot, and she's waiting to see what happens with the hormonal chromosome crew.
Oh, Julie wins the race. Barely.
Nice.
Well, now it's time for the event that may or may not have been in the Olympics, depending on if you believe Doctor Who or not.
We're talking about the surfing competition. It is between Loa and Finesse. While Loa grew up surfing Hawaii, Finesse is a first-timer, but with her powers, she knows she can win. Just like the last five world surfing champions whose moves she's going to be copying.
But there's one non-blue crush who is feeling undone at this point break, who is feeling like a fish outside the shallows of this endless summer. And yes, I'm writing giants about the red metal mopey dude sadly watching the ladies prep to cut the waves.
We are talking about Metal, another Hawaiian surfing boy who cannot do what he loves anymore because he's a heavy boy who sinks, not slides, in the waters.
Oh, but wait a moment. Wait till you see what Loa's power can do. She is a molecular disruptor who can swim the ground, disrupting it like a wave, which she demonstrates by causing earthquakes beneath the metal surfboard.
Kawa flippin' bunga.
This is the best day of metal's metal life. So, of course, Hazmat has something to say and do about this.
Oh, no.
No, it's all good. She sees this as being the good flirting, and Metal got to do something he loved. In fact, she gives Loa a hug and thanks her.
Whoa.
And she announces that as far as she is concerned, the X-Men won and that all extramural hostilities are over. They should all get along and have a picnic on the beach.
Okay, gotta call it right now. The telepathy jammers on campus are broken.
This is genuine and heartfelt behavior on Hazmat's part. But it doesn't matter. The X-Kids are still mostly anti-Penelopes. Negative Nellies. There's a small group of these mutants who are devoted followers of Hope Summers, and she is missing, and the Avengers invaded their home, and it is 2012, and MTV just announced the sixth season of Jersey Shore would be the last.
Oh, the horror. The horror.
Yeah, let's kick this party up a notch and check in on a couple of real killers, Finesse and Laura. They are working out some aggression by destroying some robots.
A time-honored tradition of all super-duper heroes.
They spend the session trying to define friends. What they are, how do you find them, and what do they taste like?
They are also trying to figure out what Laura should do. And really, the only thing either of them like or understand is killing slash destroying things.
Well, they got that going for them. And that ain't nothing.
Let's see. What else do we have happening here? Oh, right. We have a super criminal all captured and comfy in a room that absorbs his power. If he hits a wall, the energy does not feed back into him.
Perfect prison. And he gets to read those lovely, thick, hardbound books that he is hitting his head with. Wait, that means he's powering up. And, I think I see a flaw in their plan.
Wakum!
This is like the Shawshank Redemption, except with a real jerk, no long-term plan, and no Rita Hayworth.
Which makes this nothing like the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, that's a fair call. But look at how embarrassed Madison Jeffries is in the obvious flaw, not a feature, of his escape-proof prison cell.
I am more impressed with how Sebastian Shaw looks like Wolverine in that obvious homage page from Uncanny X-Men 132.
Well, obviously, if you're gonna ape an ape, ape the apiest ape apeable.
Ook ook. Ook ook ook. Let's talk about the themes of this issue, shall we? And before we open up this cover and burn our eyes yet again, let's go ahead and take a look at the outside cover, which I think they got a little on the nose here, if you ask me.
I think this is from some of the X-Kids' point of view.
You think?
Mm-hmm. In their classic retelling of the situation, this is what it's going to be like.
So this is Giopsi Camoli and Jim Charlampidis. They were the cover artists, and I'm sorry about mispronouncing those names horribly. But this is it kind of looks like the back is kind of painted a little bit. You got heavy rain coming down, and you've got four mutants. And who are the mutants here again, Jeff?
It looks like Primal, Surge, Dust, and Pixie, I believe.
Yeah, and they're very looking downtrodden. They've got, like, inhibitor collars on their necks, and they got their hands in these inhibitor cuffs, and they're looking very, very sad. It's raining. Behind this fence, you've got members of the Avengers Academy, and you've got the Sentinel, who's looking down. His lights are kind of lighting up the thing. So, yeah, this is what the X-Kids feel like. They feel like they are in a camp. Their powers are muted. They've got these people that are staring. They don't even know the Sentinel's there yet. This is just their feeling of it. They feel like they are in a camp.
Yep. It looks very much like an internment camp is what it really does. It looks like they are prisoners of war. It is emotionally correct, yet physically super incorrect for what is going on in the circumstance.
But I think that it's not a... I think it's a good representation of what's going on in this issue.
Yeah.
It never gets to this point in the issue, in this issue. So, except unless your name's Sebastian Shaw, but still, we'll get to that. I like the cover. I think it's pretty cool. I think the drawing is good. I think it's very evocative. I think it's very much about what this issue's about. And I think it's well done, especially with the falling rain.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. It looks very, Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of an homage to that. There's a lot of homages to X books in here, if you will. Especially that horrendous last page, which we are going to get to. Let's talk about it a little bit. Do you know any of these X-peeps in here?
I know Primal's name because there was a name tag plastered over his character at one point saying Primal. I know nothing about him otherwise. Pixie I've seen before, but mm-hmm. I can't remember too much about her. I think she teleports, and I could even be wrong with who that is. Dust, I recognize her from the Burka, but I know nothing about her. And Surge, I believe, is actually the comic adaptation of a TV show whose name I'm completely blanking on with the girl who has the earthquake powers.
You're thinking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Thank you. There. That's what it's called. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if the TV show character was based off of this character or this character was based off of her. I could be 100% wrong. So let me just state this simply. I have vague recollection of these characters, but not much about them.
I'm a little bit on that too. There's a couple of these characters who I've become more familiar with current X-Men reading. This is still during an era where I really wasn't keeping track of X-Men that much or any comic books that much. But looking at the big splash page where you see all of them come in. Of course, I knew who the Stepford Cuckoos are.
Mm-hmm.
I do know Pixie a little bit. Prodigy, he's become a lot more popular in a lot of comics currently, a lot of the modern comics. He plays a lot of role in a few different books. No Girl, she's bounced around the New Mutants a lot. She's had a very interesting story arc. Of course, I know Madison Jeffries, Sebastian Shaw. Those characters I know a lot. But yeah, a lot of these ones are very new to me. So
yeah,
trying to figure out their powers and their characterization and who they are, it's a little rough, but I think that Christopher Engage does a really good job, once again, of introducing a lot of characters. And if you don't know them, that's okay. Most of the time, you don't really need to. The situation kind of speaks for itself. The characters kind of show you who they are through most of this. If you're interested in looking up these characters, sure, go for it. But it's not going to help move the story along to go into in depth with them, but he does a good job of juggling all the different people in here.
Christos does a really good job at these ensemble casts and giving you enough information about them in a non this is your first comic book ever kind of a way that it feels natural. So you get enough information from them. It's like, you know, even with Sebastian Shaw, an established character, I think in the next comic that we're going to cover tonight, he even kind of goes into his power set. They talk about it, but it's in the way that's like, oh, you often misunderstand my powers and blah, 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 you know, these kind of things. Where so you will find out what you need to know about them as it goes. Otherwise, they're other angry, muscly students that are in an area where they're upset. So,
all right, let's talk about elephant trunk in the room.
Because he's not wearing his breech clout or his pants.
I mean, what a way to bring Hercules into this comic. I mean, there is so many questions. And if it wasn't for the fact that he is a god who just can get away with anything he wants to get away with, and you know that he's not doing it in a way that's bad or sexual or anything like that. He is just trying to make a point, but it is so misguided and so Hercules. I hate it, and I love it at the same time.
It is perfect Hercules. I love Hercules as a character. He's just so braggadocious, and literally everything rolls off of him. He's a duck. Water just pours off of him. He's so amazing.
He's so hairy. There's nothing that can roll off him.
Because, as he stated shortly there into his introduction, there the original Olympians were clad in naught but oil underneath the blistering rays of the sun. So the oil that they anoint their bodies with to protect them from the elements is what is letting everything roll off his hairy body.
I do appreciate this entire thing because it is Hercules front center in a Greco pose with word balloons amazingly placed. So you see everything and nothing.
Yeah, he's the god of the word balloons.
Yes.
It is amazing. Yeah, it is so great. And I love just the students. We're going to get into this page again, I'm sure, in the future. But I love his posing. He looks amazing. And then in the background, all the students, just you can see exactly what is going through their heads on each and every character. And I love it. And some are kind of like the ones that are a little more emotionally detached, like Laura and Finesse, are just observant. They're like, yeah, okay, this is a naked guy.
Laura doesn't care. Finesse is categorizing.
Yeah, she's processed it. She's processing and putting them into categories. Going, okay, yes, this.
She's gone past the main show, if you will, and she's actually going through and she's measuring deltoids at this point.
Yes, she's gathering information. She's just like, oh, she would be able to tell pectoral size differences from his depowered state to his empowered states and everything like that. Yeah,
we'll get back to this.
We'll definitely get back. But I just want to say, I love Julie in the background because she has that look of like, oh, that's right. I remember going to the Avengers compound that time when I was a kid. He was just wearing a sheet. Oh, yeah. Or towel. Oh, that's, oh, this is Hercules at his normalest.
Yeah, Hercules is a lot in this book. Hercules being introduced to the cast of this book is a fascinating idea as another teacher. It makes sense. I think he's an interesting character to have as a teacher. We've already covered one book with Hercules and the kids where he's doing babysitting kind of in our, we covered that in our Patreon.
Yep.
He's a fascinating character to have in there. Like we said, just the braggadoche, the alpha male of it all, but also he is just trying to be friendly.
That is ultimately his saving grace, where he's very braggadocious. He's very much all about him and how great he is, but also it's just in the most innocent manner ever. He can get away with doing things like this where you're like, he's not trying to be pervy or anything. He's genuinely going like, you brought me here to teach them about the Olympic Games, being one of the first Olympians. This is how we did the first Olympics. Let's do this so that you can get the historical accuracy. It'll be weird because girls are going to be in it. I always wanted them to be in the Olympics, but they wouldn't let them in. Let's do this. We're doing history lessons.
Yeah. Let's talk about those games.
Mm-hmm.
My one complaint with this book is I would have liked to have seen more of that.
We kind of
moved into the story pretty quick here, but I would have been much more entertained to see more of the
competition between the schools.
The schools kind of doing things together, and yeah, I think that would have been a lot better.
No, I fully agree, because the competitions, the games, characters meeting and connecting and competing against one another, you know, because you get that with Julie and Transonic. Transonic's a character I have no history with. Julie throwing Transonic off her game, and then they zip out and they come back, and Julie just wins, and Transonic's like, you call that a win? Like, going, you cheated. You didn't win. You threw me off my game. I'd have won you. So that was interesting. And then a flight race. That's a game. The next one, surfing. I'm like, okay, wouldn't expect this as a sport, but yeah, totally. Go ahead and do that. But then it transitions into character moments and development, and it was kind of like, that's cool. Not really a game. It was just like, now Loa and Metal playing around, and it was like, oh, that's fun and friendly, but it would have really been neat to have seen more competitions and seeing how characters interacted and knew each other.
Yeah, I think that I would have enjoyed that a little bit more, just to see more of the one-on-one group interactions, seeing how they got along, didn't get along, and I think that it would have helped pace the rest of the story a little bit better and gotten to more of kind of like what we got with the Runaways. It was really easy for the Runaways to transition into the, okay, we can kind of see their point of view, you know, mm-hmm. we kind of get along with them, we have some things, but that was a couple of scenes that were some good interaction building scenes, and we don't quite get that here before we start moving into the next few set pieces. I would have wished that we turned a bit more that direction and kept some of the more the interactions that they had, especially with Laura and Finesse and a few other people.
Yeah.
Let's just kick that to the next issue. I think it would have been more appropriate.
Could have been the same thing with Shaw.
Yeah.
Because Shaw ate more time with that as well. So the Laura trying to figure out what side she's on is its own section in the book, and mm-hmm. Finesse and her kind of discussing things, and Shaw and his imprisonment is kind of another.
Yeah.
Where it could have been all games all the time. 28 pages of Olympian games.
Have the pieces with Shaw, like, slowly getting his way out of the prison, have that just be a little piece inside each one of the games. Like, oh, Shaw's doing this. Shaw's doing this. I think that could have been a lot more fun with this book. I like where this book is going, and I think it does a good job of setting up the next ones. I just think there might have been a different beats that you could have taken with this book to get to that same area.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a three-issue storyline or a four, but it could have been an additional issue tacked on to whatever the storyline is.
I think that you could have still done all that and still made the point where the next book starts off.
Okay.
My opinion. But let's talk about Sebastian Shaw.
Mm-hmm. He's a man. He's a big bad. He's a naughty man who does lots of bad things. I know that his memory got wiped by Emma Frost, and she only let him remember all the mutants that died, and that was his entire memory. So he was kind of a befuddled amnesiac.
See, I have been a big old X-Men fan for many, many years, and I collected back into the old Dark Phoenix saga him and the Hellfire Club, and being a massive thorn in the X-Men side for many years. Modern day, his place in the Quiet Council of X-Men was always fascinating. His ongoing feud between him, Emma Frost, and Kitty Pryde. Chef's kiss. And how they absolutely destroyed and wrecked him. Beautiful.
Yep. Yep. Pretty great.
But he's one of those characters that he's immensely powerful. And he's one of those like untouchable people, both financially and physically, because of how his power works. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to really touch him and to really beat him at his levels, because he is a mastermind. He's thinking of profit. Yeah,
he converts basically all energy into power for himself, making him stronger, tougher, and faster. So, hey, you get a whole bunch of punchers on the team? Well, that powers him up. You get people that shoot lightning at him? Well, that powers him up. It's all these different attacks that are this, concussive optic beams. Yeah, that gives him power. It's just like, all the attacks that most people can do to him are things that are like, yeah, I absorb that, and now I hit you harder. So,
yeah, kind of getting a little bit of Mass and Jeffries, too. I'm an old Alpha Flight fan. I like Mass and Jeffries, but he ain't the sharpest tack in the shed. His prison plan's good, but then, give him the books and Sebastian Shaw thinking ahead, like, fools. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it's like, I don't have to punch the walls when I can punch myself.
Yeah, and then he can get through the prison, like, no problem.
Yep.
I like Sebastian Shaw. I like where they're going with this. I like some of the homages that they do in this book. I like the things that they're leading to in this book. I have issues with this last picture. I have many, many issues with this final image, because I saw it and I was like, really? Really? I know Wolverine, sir. Wolverine's a friend of mine. You, sir, are not Wolverine.
that's a great quote. I bet people are going to call that a famous quote in the future.
Shut up. It's absolutely different. What they're going from here is Uncanny X-Men 132. Wolverine's been beaten. The X-Men have been taken captive. He's in the sewer and he's crawling through the sewer because he is going to crawl up in through the sewer pipes and just destroy the Hellfire Club. It is the setup for just this amazing Wolverine revenge early on. It's kind of what made Wolverine the bad dude that we all know him as today. Everything cool about Wolverine came from that moment, that image, and built from there. And there is nothing about what Sebastian Shaw is doing that meets that level. Yeah, he's going to go up and he's going to wreck the Avengers, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same at all.
But he is, he punched his way into their drain pipes. He's going to work his way through. He's going to disable their system. He's going to kill their kids. Yeah, it's similar in a not as cool way.
I'll get off my soapbox. Anything else you want to say about this issue?
No, it's a fun issue. I agree. I would have liked to have had more Olympic Games. Yeah, it's a good comic. It's fun.
All right. Then let's move on over to our final thoughts. Let's talk a little bit about the Gallery of Greatness. Jeff, let's go ahead and talk about some backup ones here. Yeah, actually, I've already said what my backup joke one was, and I've already used my joke because I'm now looking at my notes and I'm like, you, sir, are no Mr. Hudson. Yeah, that'd be that last panel.
So the splash page at the end.
You, sir, are no Mr. Hudson. So yeah, I didn't realize I used that joke in my own notes there.
I will do my backup one then, which is on page 19 of Marvel Unlimited, and I call it, Why Won't My Stupid Brain Learn?
Hold on. For my top joke one, I call that page D-A-X-E-Requiem. All-E-A-L-E-Requiem. From Monty Python, as the monks are pounding their head as they're walking. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
This is Shaw sitting in his holding cell, beating himself in the head with a book. And I totally get the Monty Python reference there. For me, it's just like somebody who's just having trouble understanding a subject. So it's like, why won't my stupid brain learn? Pounding himself with a textbook. So I get it. Hey, organic chemistry is tough. It's not for everybody. So
show off. What's your top joke one, sir?
Oh, that would be the first splash page on page 3 of Marvel Unlimited, which I call Background Reactions, just because of, like we were talking about, Julie having the, I remember this from like issue number 16. I can't remember which issue. I should have looked that up. Yep. When we went to the Avengers compound and Laura going, yeah, like, yeah, it's a naked dude, whatever. And Vanessa's just like, categorizing parts, and Metal is covering Hazmat's eyes, and Reptile's like, and you know, Stryker's even there kind of like going, no, not for me. No, pass. Pass. Swipe left, please.
That's my top good one, and I call that Hurricane is junk. well, we are just covering a lot of the same ground here. Let's go ahead and talk about my backup good art one. Let's see if we can do another match on this one. This is our second contest that we are talking about, and I call it Hang 10. Yeah, we are just copying each other here.
Yeah, I called it Surf's Up.
This is where we have Metal. He is on his surfboard. He is riding the ground as Loa is carving it up for him. It is pretty darn awesome. You can't really tell that he's got a smile on his face because he's a big Metal
skull
dude. But you know that he thinks that this is awesome because he says, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah, a big bold exclamation, highlighted word bubble. He is super stoked because this is what him and Loa do for basically the next two issues. It's wonderful.
Yeah. You have a top good art one, right?
I do have a top good one. Now, if you recall, on page 3, there's a splash page of Herc, and I call it Olympic Olympian. Because Hercules looks amazing. He's in his discus throw. It is my top joke. It is my top art. It is an amazing page.
So what you're saying here is that we have only chosen 4 pieces of art total.
Yes. Total. Yes. Yes, we have. Because that's all we need. Because it's amazing. It's so good.
Honestly, we honestly couldn't get past the first page. The rest of it just was just kind of picking up the pieces that was left over. And I the funniest thing in the book is Sebastian Shaw hitting himself in the head. The most outrageous thing in the book is Herc and his junk. The happiest point of the book is him hanging 10. And of course, I hate the last page.
Yeah, there you go. It is literally when we started working on the script. I'm sick as a dog, and Rick sends me a text, and it's just a picture of this splash page, this first one, and he's just like, well, this is part time getting over this page, and I was like, yep, you're right.
Well, let's go ahead and move forward to Rubber and Gloomum and see if we can actually match on best or most childish insults. My backup one is, what I have warned of since those idiots took my father in, and that was Quicksilver talking. Knew bad stuff was going to happen with the X-Men, and he just wanted to make sure that he was talking about those idiots being the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one that you chose, those idiots, because there's a lot of insults that are being thrown at the adults in the room in this issue, which is wonderful, which is why my backup one is Laura and Wolverine talking, because Laura is just like, I came here to get away from this stuff, and you brought the war to me. And Wolverine's apologizing to her, and he says, the adults who ought to know better are acting like jerks. And it sums it up so perfectly. He says a whole bunch of stuff, but basically he's just like, yeah, the adults that should be better, but they're jerks right now, and I gotta go chaperone everybody.
Yeah. Now, I'm gonna be surprised you don't have this one as a top insult one, because I think it's a pretty thorough insult. It's where Sebastian Shaw is talking to Wolverine, and Wolverine's response is, a bolt in the guts, unpleasant. You were scum.
Oh, that is a great one.
What happened with the Phoenix the first time was your damn fault. So how unpleasant is Sebastian Shaw? He is as unpleasant as a bullet in the guts. What is he? He is scum. And whose fault was it? It was his. What else can you say? I mean, there we go.
It's a great one. It's one that I didn't pick. It was on my short list. It really, really was. But instead, I'm going off of the area where they're going to do the surfing competition, and Metal's explaining to Loa, it's like, I can't surf anymore since I got like this. I just sink. Loa says, you know, I'm named after a worm because I can tunnel through rock and earth. And Hazmat so succinctly, so beautifully puts it, so? You already made him feel bad. Having a lame power doesn't make it okay.
Fair enough.
So I loved that. I just absolutely loved that.
Parent of the Year Award, the Reed Richards Award for Good Parenting. I'm not sure if this falls into real good parenting or bad good parenting. I just wanted to go ahead and recognize the person who needs the holiday the most, and that's Tigra. Mom needs a holiday. She wants to go and fight with the other Avengers. No, you have to stay and watch the kids. But I have to also take care of Hercules. And now you're giving me a prisoner? And now I got these other two adults who I don't know and a bunch of more kids?
Yeah.
Now, Tigra has taken her box wine into her room and she is just having a night.
Yep, I picked Tigra as well, and for all the same reasons. She was ready to go on a spa day of punching X-Men, but she's trapped at home with all the kids.
Yep, and Hercules, for God's sakes, man, put on some clothes.
No, nay, say I.
And that's coming from Tigra.
Mrs. Bikini Teacher. Yep.
Most popular and shunned. Identify the character who was the best and the worst in this issue. The worst. Madison Jeffries. Love the dude. Love the character. But he had one job. One.
Yeah.
One job. One job. And he failed.
I could see it. I could totally see that. He did fail at his job. He made a great sell, except that he didn't. There were some built-in flaws there where it's just like, here you go. I made you a glass of room. Oh, you want a collection of hammers and rocks? Yeah, of course you can play with those. Yeah. Great choice. I did not pick him. I have an honorary one that I want to mention, which is Captain America.
Yeah.
Because Cap comes in, says, hi, here's a bunch of students. You know, it's messy. You need to keep them here. Also, Avengers students, here's the deal. Treat these kids nice. Show them how great it is here. If they try to leave, stop them.
Yeah.
Don't kill him. Just stop him. It's like, you do not.
Not
you don't do that. No,
not,
that's
not,
that's
not
just
Cap's finest hour there. No.
No, not his finest hour. My honorary one, but I'm really going to go for Surge. Just because she at no point made anything better. She was, at no point was she understanding. She was dismissive. She was insulting. I understand it, why she was acting up and why she was doing what she was doing. But it just kept on sitting wrong in my craw, where it's just like, hey, thanks, Cap, saying we got to stop if they try and leave. Hey, let's show you all the basketball courts that we have. And they're just like, we're going to.
My only saving grace for Surge is that we knew where she stood. We need a protagonist in this. We need somebody to say, you know what? No, I don't like this. We aren't going to play with you. We want to be over here doing our things. And you know what? That's fine. I can see her point of view completely.
Oh, I could see it. It I totally understood it, but it frustrated me as well.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of have a tour with Cap and her.
Yeah. For me, it was just Madison Jeffries. All right. But who was the best? Who was the best? I chose Loa.
Same.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
She said, well, wait, I want to win a surfing competition, but hang on. Here's a guy who loves to surf and he can't surf and I can do something about it. All right. And it was never I want to shack up with this guy. I want to do this. Mm-hmm. It was just, here's somebody who loves something that I love and I can bring this to him and we can have fun doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's also the coolest part about being a mutant. You've got these cool powers. What can you do with these cool powers? How can you use them? How can you use them in tandem with somebody else's powers? Sweet. Excellent.
Yep. Team up. Have some fun. Yeah.
Think about her and Metal doing a fastball special on a surfboard.
Oh, that could be cool. That would, the weirdest reverse fastball special where the little one is tossing the big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's super. I like that idea. That is super cool.
Yeah.
But Loa was just total pure spirit, and her interaction with Metal, amazing, because literally they're still surfing in the next issue where it's nighttime. It's just, that's what they've been doing all day long. She's just been like, I can tunnel, you can surf, let's just have fun. We're 808ers doing 808 stuff. It's great.
All right. We need to do something real fun, and that is rank this book. We need to put this book on our ever-growing list of comics featuring a member of Power Pack. And yes, Julie was in this one in a cool thing. She won a race. We didn't underline that enough. Julie won a race. That was awesome. Of course, she ran away because she's Julie. And of course, she flirted with a girl who's nude. Of course. All right. Fantastic Four, Month of Mourning, still on top. Number 10, we are down to Fantastic Four, Kings of Atlantis. Spot number 20, Amazing Spider-Man 659, Fantastic Voyage, Part 1. Spot number 30, Runaways, True Believers number 4, trying to figure out who's Vic's daddy is. Spot number 40, War of Kings, Dark Arc number 1, Haunted, Jeff's favorite character. All right, spot number 50, Avengers Academy number 26, Career Day. And spot number 55, What Lies Beneath. Jeff!
I like this one. I like this one quite a bit. I'm starting my look around in the 20s area.
I see 27, Avengers Academy's 24 family. Better than that, Runaways want their dino. Oh, yeah, Avengers Homecoming Part 1, they want their dino back.
Mm-hmm.
That is a comparable issue because we just did come off that first issue with another team here. I kind of like that one better for some of the reasons we've already talked about. Okay. That issue does a better job of doing more of a how are they getting along. This one's got a great scene with Loa and and Metal. Fantastic. Love it. Kind of it. We kind of get something with Julie and Transonic. We just don't get that much. I think there's a lot better interactions in the Homecoming Part 1.
Homecoming Part 1 does have a lot more interactions where you're understanding where the characters are coming from and their distrust of each other and everything. Where this is kind of like, they went there voluntarily to go ask for help in their awkward runaways way. Whereas the ex-students got dropped off saying, hey, they're not prisoners, but they also are. I like this better, but I do like Homecoming interactions better on that regard. So they're very comparable.
Let's put this down at spot number 25. I'm
okay with
that. I'm good with this putting up above the loners. So we'll make this one the new number 25.
All right. And hey, if we're at the 25, that's past legal drinking age. So let's talk about our final thoughts on beer. So we have Level Beer, Choose Your Weapon, Imperial IPA. What are we thinking, Rick?
Let me tell you, my friend. Let me tell you. I don't know. I'm having a hard time drinking this one. This is not what I enjoy at all. I can see where it's good. I can see where some people would like it. I just am not there. I'm at about a 2 or a 2.5. I just really am struggling with this.
It's a tall boy that we're drinking out of. I probably poured 12 ounces into my glass. I still probably have about 3-4 ounces left in my mug. I'm sipping at it. I'm finding it more enjoyable as I go. Not super what I'd be going for. I'm going to be a little more compassionate than you. I'm going to give it a 3. It's something that I am drinking. I would drink. I will finish. It's enjoyable enough. It's not amazing. It's right in that middle zone for me. So I'm going to give mine a 3.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and say 2.5 on mine. You're giving this one a 3. All right.
All right. Add that up, and we have Kids Perspective. My math is really terrible. But that is where Rick talks to his 13-year-old daughter about the issue that we just covered. So Rick and Carrie, take it away.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Daddy.
Ready to talk about a new comic book?
Yep.
Now, I feel ashamed that I had you read this comic book.
Because I had no context, or?
No, because of the first page.
Right. The first page. That's, it's really special, actually. No words. So anyways, the rest of the book.
The rest of the book, then. We'll move on to the rest of the book. Let me ask you this. Why was Hercules naked? What was he trying to do? What was he...
Reenact history.
They're talking about the first Olympic Games.
Yeah. And like millions of years ago.
Yeah. Not millions of years ago. It was about...
Hundreds.
A little over 2,000 years ago. The first Olympic Games were in Olympus, and it was only men competing, and they competed nude.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have all these special suits and clothes that we wear that can cover people up, but are also more designed to be appropriate in those type of situations, in those sports. They didn't have those kinds of clothes, and it was just a lot easier for them to perform in the nude, and they didn't care too much about nudity back then. And that's what Hercules was trying to say.
But also in the wrong century, so...
Yeah, we kind of missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, maybe go back a little.
So let's talk about the rest of the book. Why did the X-Men drop off a bunch of teenagers here?
Because there's like a war something going on with Cyclops and Wolverine.
Yeah.
And there's like the Phoenix is happening again. And yeah, at the end of the book, there's just this other guy who's like thumping a book against his head. Who's very angry. And yeah, that's villains, not villains, things that's happening.
It sounds like you understand this book extremely well.
I know, right? I have so much background information. It's great. I will say, though, some comic books, I read the little previews to other comic books or something. For a few of them, there was like, I think the beginning of... What's her name again? The one who's getting taken over by the Phoenix again?
they talk about Hope. She's supposed to be the Messiah, and she's supposed to be the one who... Are you talking about her, or are you talking about Jean Grey?
Yeah, I think it was her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I think I saw a little bit of that. I'm not sure. It didn't help me that much. I was just like, oh, okay, that doesn't help.
There is a lot of things going on. There's a lot of backstory. This is in the midst of another big crossover event called AVX, Avengers versus X-Men. The Phoenix Force is coming back to Earth, and the X-Men are trying to position this one girl to become the host of the Phoenix Force. The Avengers aren't really happy about it. Wolverine and his portion of the X-Men, they aren't happy about it. And a lot of people are just angry at each other. And you got all these teenage mutants who've been told to go here on Avengers Academy campus and to wait and not get involved. And what are they kind of treated like there?
Prisoners.
Yeah. And there is some questions about this, right?
Yeah. They're like, we don't want to be here.
They don't want to be here. The Avengers Academy students don't want them there. A lot of the Academy students don't want to be guarding them. And there's a lot of real awkward feelings, right?
Yeah.
But there's some cool things that happen in here too, right? Yeah, what were some of the cool things that happened?
They did a few, like, little games. Avengers versus X-Men portion, yeah. Julie was racing against Transonic.
Mm-hmm. Julie kind of tricked her a little bit, right?
Yeah. It always works out just to confuse people right before it happens, and then...
What was the other cool little contest that they did?
They were going to do a surfing contest, and...
Instead, Loa helped out...
Metal...
Mm-hmm.
With surfing, because he can't surf anymore now that he's muscular.
He's metal, and metal doesn't float.
Yeah, so she can do ground stuff, like tunneling under Earth, whatever. And she made like a wave, an Earth wave. And then somehow she managed to get a rare hug from Hazmat, which I think, from what I've seen, is really rare and very special and needs to be valued.
Yeah, you are correct. And we find out that Hazmat just, she cares about Metal, and Metal was happy, and that's what made her happy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy this book?
I liked how they did the competitions.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite part of it all.
That's fair.
The other parts of it were just a little confusing for me, because I needed to know a bit more.
Yeah, you didn't come and ask me about it at all. I just gave you the books and said we're recording. And, you know, maybe I didn't give you a chance to ask me about it.
Well, honestly, I read it at night, so...
You can also look up the characters, too. You can find out more about them as well.
Yep. Except then I'll probably find out something I don't want to know. Like, oh yeah, this person dies in a few comics and...
Well, this is X-Men and Avengers and comic books. Everybody dies. But they get better.
And then they, like, come back to life, and then they die again, and then there's, like, a clone, and then there's their son, and
it's always
their
a clone.
Son dies.
It's always a clone. It's always a clone.
There's always something happening, and I never understand. It's like, how is this person still alive? Oh, yeah, they went through this whole process to get here. Don't you know? No? It's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. You enjoyed the book, though, a bit, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right. Then thank you very much for your time, Carrie.
Welcome.
I love you.
Love you too.
Yep, the Olympic Games, Carrie. Anybody can compete if they're really, really good, or if they have super flight, or they like to surf, or I don't know. That's all the competitions that are in the Olympics. I guess they don't have a winner one.
Shout out time. We like to recognize those listeners who take the time to write in or leave us a review. This is for episode 152, Avengers Solo, 1-5, extra credit. We got a few likes from people like Hoover Jeremiah,
Jeremy Daw,
Jeremy Wiggins,
Justin Steiner,
Maxopoulos,
Tim Price, the Podcrasher, and his podcast, The Outcasters.
We also like to thank those people that give us a few bucks to do this show. They support us over on Patreon. We really would like it if anybody else supported us as well. Be like these people. Adorably astonishing and amazing, Andrew Burns.
Cheerfully cheeky and charming, Char Logan.
Challenging, cheesy, and chuckling, Charles Gears.
Destructive and devastatingly delightful, Damian Witter.
Dynamically dangerous and devious, Doug Jones.
Intelligent, interesting, and innovative, Isaac Perry.
Justing, joking, and jovial, Jeff Bollier.
Just, jealous, and jeweled, Jeremy Daw.
Muscly, mighty, and meticulous, Matthew Birdsey.
Mythical and magnificent monologuing, Matthew Laserwitz.
Steely, salty, and steamy Sailor Bear Zodar.
Sad and sickeningly silly Shag Matthews.
Tyrannically terrifying and tame Tim Price.
Way, way wordy and wobbly Waffles.
Weird and wonderfully wacky Wind.
Next issue, we're going to be covering Avengers Academy, issue number 30, Protective Services, part 2.
And be sure to try to find us over wherever else we can be found, which at the moment is not too many other places. Sometimes I do stuff over on the Longbox Crusade Network when, I don't know, whenever I feel like it.
And we also have some merchandise available on Redbubble. Go to redbubble.com and search for Unpacking the Power of Power Pack.
Jeff and Rick Present is a bi-weekly self-produced podcast recorded in front of a live studio audience of My Room in Portland, Oregon, and Jeff's Room, also in Portland, Oregon. If you would like to interact with us through the magic of the internet, you can do so through Blue Sky at Jeff and Rick Present, our Facebook page, Jeff and Rick Present, our email address, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word at gmail.com, or at our website, jeffandrickpresent.wordpress.com. Also, we got a YouTube channel at Jeff and Rick Present.
And if you would like to help support our show, we are on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word. We are also a proud supporter of the Hero Initiative, and we'll be donating 10% of our Patreon donations to this great cause. We encourage everyone to give what they can to this worthwhile organization that helps the creators who provide us with such great content. Go to heroinitiative.org to find out more.
Please rate and review us wherever you can. Share your love for us on social media, or tell your friends about us.
And as always, we want to thank the powerful people at our PACs.
My wife Cindy and our daughter Carrie.
My fiancé Hillary and our daughter Aurora.
We love you.
Until next time, costumes off.
Our theme music in this episode is 80s Action by Kevin MacLeod. Also featured in this episode is Carnival by Sasha Ende. All music is found at Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license.
All out war is about to erupt between the Avengers Academy and the Runaways when Nico sucker punch. When. Huh.
Wakoom!
After which they all go back to their own lot. Oh boy, it's gonna be a hard night.
Wakoom!
I threw a bunch of surfing movie titles in there.
Yeah, I noticed. It hurt.
Yeah, it was as forced as humanly possible to make them fit.
Wakoom!
Okay, I'm gonna call it right now. The telepathy jammers are broken.
Try that again. You ate telepathy.